You'll recall heading into the weekend, it was a tense back and forth between the U.S. and North Korea. U.S. warships steaming into the region, tailed by Japanese ships as a show of force. At one point, the government of China warned the U.S. to stop raising tensions and warned both nations to stand down, that it won't tolerate escalating militarization of the Korean Peninsula. But a humiliating failed North Korean missile launch was probably worth 1,000 hours of diplomacy this weekend. Here's National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster discussing U.S.-North Korea relations on Sunday morning, ABC's This Week program.
And I think there's an international consensus now, including the Chinese and the Chinese leadership, that this is a situation that just can't continue. And the president has made clear that he will not accept the United States and its allies and partners in the region being under threat from this hostile regime with nuclear weapons.
But who can reduce tensions? Vice President Mike Pence is in Seoul today, the start of his 10-day trip through Asia. Pence, the reassurer-in-chief, while President Trump perhaps sounds a bit more bellicose from his Twitter bunker in Washington, D.C. Jean Lee is currently a global fellow at the Wilson Center. She served as the Associated Press's Pyongyang bureau chief from 2008 to 2013. Jean Lee, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Did that failed missile actually, reduce tensions, even though it's probably not something that Pyongyang was looking forward to?
I think it was probably better that it was a failed missile, that it blew up or sizzled a few seconds after, because it meant that the countries in the region, Japan, South Korea, and United States, didn't necessarily have to act so proactively. But I would actually question whether it's really so much of a failure, because even though it didn't do what they wanted, it didn't get any air. Every time the North Koreans test a device, whether it's a nuclear test or a missile, they're actually improving that technology. Mm. They learn something from that. And so even though it's been characterized, of course, as a humiliation, frankly, within North Korea, and I've been there, obviously, in the wake of some of these failed rocket launches or missile tests, they are not treated as a failure. They are treated as a step in the process. And every time they do it, it's kind of a victory for them because they say we're just getting closer. So I think that it's going to play differently. Obviously, the U.S. And China have different reasons for how they want to spin it. In North Korea, they'll be spinning it a very different way.
What do you make of this sort of dual voice Mike Pence in Seoul today, acting more like a traditional sort of American diplomat, presidential leader, and President Trump's more bellicose sounding rhetoric coming from Washington, D.C.? Is it a good cop, bad cop kind of strategy, and is it going to work?
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It's still early days for the Trump administration, but in terms of foreign policy, certainly we've seen a measure of unpredictability from President Trump. And there must have been a lot of pressure from South Korea when the acting president of South Korea met today with Vice President Pence. I'm sure they wanted some answers, explanations, and promises that the United States would not act unilaterally with some sort of a military airstrike the way that they did in other countries. And so he is kind of having to go and explain what the policy is and perhaps provide some reassurance. It's certainly an interesting role to put him into.
Will the Chinese tolerate this ambiguity? Do they see this as an advantage, or do they see it as a problem in their own foreign policy?
I think the Chinese, they're very savvy. They understand what's going on here. They see the United States as an adversary, ultimately. So though we're hearing, of course, we heard earlier some sort of praise for this newfound solidarity between U.S. and China, I think actually we should keep in mind that they were adversaries during the Korean War. They're adversaries in trade issues, and they're certainly also adversaries when it comes to North Korea to a certain degree. I think it's great that they have this agreement at a baseline that they have to somehow bring this tension to bring it down a notch. So they're in agreement. It's a good starting point, but how they're going to get there, I think they really disagree on. You know, Trump has made it clear that he wants China to really put some pressure on North Korea and exert the kind of control that they have in terms of trade. North Korea relies on China to provide to for all so many of its goods and for jobs and for the livelihoods. But China does not want North Korea to fall apart. China has a vested interest in making sure that it remains stable and also remains sort of a buffer zone between all those 28,500 U.S. troops in South Korea and its long border. So I think that their ultimate objectives are very different. And so we'll see how they where they go from here.
So, Jean Lee, let's talk about South Korea then, since you've raised that. Perhaps that's the big headline here. The South Korean government has just come through a huge crisis. There must be a lot of sort of concern about this situation that's changed so much between the U.S. and China in the last 12 months. What do South Koreans sort of take away from all of this that's going on?
So the average South Korean is fairly unfazed by all the tension. This is something that they've been living with for decades. They are concerned. I think that they're unnerved right now because of the unpredictability of what might happen if, say, President Trump were to react from the gut and make a big decision that could have terrible ramifications for the region. That said, they are much more obsessed right now with their own political upheaval. They have been in political turmoil for months. You know, they were protesting in the streets because they were so there was a large group of the segment of the population that was unhappy with the president and wanted her out. Well, they did get her out. She was impeached. She was actually indicted on a number of charges today. But what that means is that South Korea has had a political vacuum, a vacuum in the presidential blue house for months. And now they're in the middle. Today was the first day of campaigning. So on May 9th, they will go to the polls. But that means that they have no one in the Blue House at a really crucial time in influencing and having a say in White House policy on North Korea. So it's a very difficult time to be undergoing political transition. And certainly that was one of the issues, perhaps one of the reasons Pence wanted to make a point. We're not leaving you out of the loop. We are here. We want to show you that we're still committed and that we're still here to defend you.
Jean Lee, global fellow at the Wilson Center, served as the Associated Press's Pyongyang bureau chief from 08 to 13. Jean Lee, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.